Please turn with me this morning to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and verse 40. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, reading into verse 41. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. We're continuing this morning our series, which asks the question, are we taking the church for granted? Are we taking the church for granted? We looked last Sunday morning at baptism, and we saw how it is that the New Testament does not know a Christian who is not baptized. And on Wednesday we went into a little more depth in our discussion about what baptism is a picture of, and discussed something about that together. And the question we have to ask ourselves as we look at all these things together is, are we slaves to tradition, or are we willing to follow the word of God? Are we willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ? And what we're doing in our series, you may just be here today, you may just come into the series for the first time. What we're going to do is to walk through, as it were, this end of Acts chapter 2 and see something of the pattern that we see here from the earliest church on Pentecost Sunday. So we have seen that the church is formed of believers who are baptized. Then what? Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So I want to build on last week's message and extend the sentence that I read at the beginning. The New Testament does not know a Christian who is not baptized and a member of a local church. Yes, you can go through and find an exception here or there. You could say, well, what church was the Ethiopian eunuch a member of? Well, obviously, he's converted in the middle of the desert and he's got to go home and all of that. But you see in the normal course of things this, the New Testament does not know a Christian who is not baptized and not a member of a local church. So let's begin thinking about why church membership matters by examining the text. What does it tell us? Well, it tells us that day, about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls? Well, that's a lot. It's connected to the baptisms, of course. Notice that there is a number here. There is a definite number of people. Yes, it's about 3,000. But there was, on that day, there were a definite number of people who were baptized and who came into church membership. It's not everybody who was there, by any means. It's not everybody who perhaps was moved by the preaching or expressed an interest in further thinking about these things. It is those who repented of their sin, believed in Christ, were baptized, and by the way, risked a lot by their obedience in baptism. 3,000 souls thereabouts. And we see that they were added to them. Added to whom? Well, who is there already? What is the very beginning of the church, if you like? Not a huge number, but it was the band of disciples who kept meeting since Christ's death and resurrection. Men and women. And we see back in Acts 1:15, altogether the number of names was about 120. So on this day, the first church of Jerusalem grows in one day from about 120 to about 3,120. Okay, that's what's in front of us. That's what happened on that day. Let's think about our own church for a moment. We're not a city centre church with a massive turnover. I come from a church like that. And from one year to the next, there's 50 or 100 people. They're there one year, they're gone the next because of study or work or whatever it might be. Well, we're not that kind of church. We don't see floods of new people come in every week. And the Lord has blessed us by bringing new faces in. Morning services, evening services, that's true. But by and large, we're a fairly constant and steady group of people, week by week. And that's why I say I think something is wrong. And I thank the Lord that there are some amongst us here today who were not members when I came as pastor and have listened to the word and have sought God's guidance and have taken that positive step of coming into church membership. But the question is this: is it just a matter of convenience for me? I like this church, I'm just going to attend it. But do I really have a care and a concern for the future of the church here? Or am I just along for the ride? Does it matter whether there is a local church standing for biblical truth in our area or not? That's the question. Does it matter? We live in an age where commitment is derided, where any form of accountability is seen as a denial of my personal autonomy and my freedom. No one's going to tell me what to do. And people say, well, I like the church, but not that much. I'm not going to join the membership. Now, I say this, as I have done in the past, I say it again. We do have one or two folk who come to this church on occasion. They belong to other churches, but they have freedom to come here because their church doesn't always meet. And that's lovely. I'm not speaking to those people who have membership in another church. But friends, is Morton Baptist Church your church? Is it the church you have chosen to support with your regular attendance, with your financial giving, where you are building relationships with other Christians, where you are praying with others and seeking prayer, where you are receiving blessing from the ministry of the Word of God and from gathering around the Lord's table and any number of other things? Well, if you're receiving all these things, why will you not join the church? Well, here is a common response. A common response I often hear. Well, I've got everything I need. I'm happy. I don't have any need to join the church. That's just selfishness. That's what that is. That's what it is. Selfishness, self-centeredness. And lest you think it's all about pounding you and saying you're being selfish, it's self you're denying yourself as well. Great blessings and privileges. You are denying that God has given you any gifts. But we know that God gives gifts to all his children, that we all have gifts and talents and abilities that we can bring together in the church and use in God's service. And if you care to deny it, then come and see me and I will help you see that you do have gifts. We all do. It's selfish to say I don't need to be a member of the church, and it denies the reality, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 12, that God has given us gifts. You say, well, I've got what I need. I'm all right. I can just turn up and receive and go home. When the church meets to make decisions, to seek the mind of Christ, to discuss business, well, you're at home then. And by the way, it's not just about the need to join the membership. It's the need, if you're a member, to exercise your church membership. The same thing applies to church members who choose to remain at home without a valid reason, or choose to make something else a priority when there is a church meeting taking place. It's despising your privileges. It's refusing to attend. Opting out of church membership, or not using your church membership, do you know what it is? It's despising the church. And I don't want to be too hard, and I don't want to be too harsh, because maybe you've never really thought about this, and maybe you're thinking about it for the first time this morning, and I don't want you to think, oh, I'm being got at, whatever it might be. Don't think that, but think it through. You say, well, I love the church. But actually, by your actions, you are despising the church. This is the church of God. There are many other local churches, but for us, this is our church. These are people here for whom Jesus Christ has died. What is the church? Why, it's comprised of Christians. People who have been born again by the Spirit of God. People whose sins have been washed away by what? The once for all atoning death of Christ on Calvary's cross. With such love and such compassion and such grace and such mercy, that he would lay down his life for someone like me, someone like you. This is the church. We can't despise it. Christ has died for it. But what we're really saying, one way or the other, is other people can do the work. I'll just turn up and take all the benefits. Again, if you've very recently started attending here, I'm not speaking to you in this challenging sense at all. But you need to understand this. We all do. I'll just turn up to church week after week. I won't think about how it is that there is ministry from the pulpit. I won't think about how it is that the building is kept clean, or that the programs and services and all these things are kept running. No, I won't think about that. I'll just turn up and I'll receive the benefits. One day you'll turn up and there will be no benefits left to take, because we are the church. Now, some people will say, well, there's no explicit command in the Bible to join a church. There's no such thing as church membership. We can only shake our heads at that. If not, if there is no such thing as church membership, if we're not to have an understanding of a distinct group of people who comprise a church, why did the disciples have a list of about 120 names? They knew who was in and who was out. How did they vote or make decisions if nobody knew who was a member or not? When Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, he tells them, put away from yourselves the evil person. Well, what does he mean by that? How can you put someone away from you if you don't know who you are? How can there be any meaningful sense in which someone who is in the church is put out of the church if there is no membership? And when he writes again to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, he counsels them not to be too harsh on someone who had been under church discipline. And he speaks about the punishment that was inflicted by the majority. Well, a majority of what? A majority of whom? There is such a thing as church membership. There certainly is. These things, the New Testament makes no sense. If there's no membership, then these things don't work. If there's no membership, then elders and deacons, how can they be called to ministry? You may say, well, I don't know. I've been coming to Morton for a long time. And I might say to you, well, how is it that I became the pastor here at Morton? You said, well, I don't know. Someone must have invited you. Well, who? Who invited me? The church membership did. And I became a member of this church, and Claire became a member of this church too. These things are not too hard to understand. They're pretty basic. So many today as well despise the idea of being under some kind of authority. They hear stories of spiritual abuse and worse in churches, and they say, no, that's not for me. But friends, there's something we really need to understand about the New Testament church. Something that's not helped by many churches that I believe, frankly, get this wrong. The New Testament church is not a pyramid. It's a circle. You see, people think about it. Pyramid, God, Pope, Archbishop of Canterbury, whatever, bishops, whatever else there is, I get confused. And then vicar, and then something else, and then it goes down and down. And then somewhere down the bottom, oh, it's just the people that go, that form the church, and they're under all this massive pyramid of authority, and they have to do what everybody says. But that's not the model of the New Testament church we see in the scriptures. It's a circle. And Christ is at the center. He says to the church, in the context of church discipline, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's a circle. The members, Christ in the center. And you say, well, where do church officers fit into this? Well, the members recognize the gifts of those who are in the church and call them and seek God's grace, and the Lord calls men into the ministry. But the church officers are in the circle as well. Christ is the shepherd, the good shepherd. We who are elders or pastors or ministers, we are under shepherds. We are in the circle alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, to lead and to encourage and to help and to exercise our gifts, but to do that as everybody else does, in different areas, in different ways. And yes, I'm oversimplifying this, and someone will come and get me by the collar and tell me that, probably. But I'm trying to lay it out for you in a very simple way. And what about pastors, ministers, elders? We're church members too. We are accountable to all the church. We're not just some kind of exalted band of men who come in from somewhere else, do our thing, and then when we've had enough, we walk away. I've said to you before, that's not my understanding of the local church. I don't believe it's at all scriptural. I don't believe it is. Now, you know, I am an employee of this church. So, because of British law, I have an employment contract. And in my contract, I can give 3 months' notice of my desire to terminate that contract. And I can do that of my own will. That's British law. But I don't believe that's how the church should function. I don't believe that as a pastor, as a member, with my brothers and sisters in Christ in a local church, that I have the right just to stand up and say, I'm leaving in 3 months. I'm turning in my cards, as it were. And the same applies to any of us in membership in that sense. We're accountable to one another. And let us just say that I felt the Lord wanted me to go somewhere else. What would I do with that? I bring it to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And say, friends, this is what the Lord has laid before me. And I submit myself to your will as my church, the church that God has set me in, that I may know. And if I am to go, then I go with your blessing. I'm not about to leave, by the way. I'm just giving you a little example. And it is the same thing for all of us. We have this wonderful accountability, this mutuality, this design, the picture we have seen of the body. There are other wonderful pictures in the New Testament of church membership, and we are accountable one to another in this circle, and Christ is at the center of it all. Friends, to opt out of church membership, I believe, is to reject the headship of Jesus Christ. Not the leadership of your pastor, but the headship of Christ. I've heard enough reasons why people won't join church membership. And you know what? I've never heard a valid one. There is one actually. I'll give you the one valid excuse for not joining church membership: that you're not a Christian. That's the valid excuse. And that's why we seek to ensure that those who want to come into membership have genuinely been born again and are living lives that don't contradict what they say. That's the valid excuse. It's not being a Christian. But you say, well, I am a Christian, so what's your excuse? When the New Testament scriptures speak about joining and being joined, and I preached a whole sermon on this not so long ago, so I'm not going into this in depth. But when they speak about joining and being joined, Acts 5, Acts 9, Ephesians 4, that word literally means to be glued together. Glued together. Joined. That's a wonderful picture in the Word of God. Church membership really matters. Some people get hung up about the idea of a church having a rule book. Well, the church has rules, there's rules and there's procedures, and it's a bit boring and a bit formal sometimes in a church meeting. That's life, isn't it? We have biblical principles and we have to apply them using sanctified common sense. We have to conduct ourselves in some way, we have to be organized in some way. And yes, it's true that we have to, as a body of God's people, we have to devise a set of rules. We have to decide how we're going to conduct ourselves in accordance with the Word of God. We still have to have some kind of structure. That's right. But friends, church membership really matters. And it's not, as I've said, it's not just about bashing you over the head. Because I say, without church membership, you're unaccountable. You're saying, I'm a free agent, I can do what I want. You're uncommitted, and you say, well, I come to church every week. You're still uncommitted. You know, what's to say? Oh, well, next week I fancy going to a different church. I'm just going to go somewhere else. And you walk away. Well, there's no commitment there. But friends, you're also, if you're not a member of the church, you are undervalued. You're undervalued. And you're disenfranchised. Your voice is not heard as a child of God. As a child of God, you should be part of the church. In that church meeting where we discuss things together, where you hear about the vision for the future of the church from the pastor and the church officers, when you hear about the decisions that are to be taken, and where you can pray and understand and join in, and when we have a vote, you can have a vote too, as we seek to know Christ's mind and serve him together. You say, well, I don't really see how me being a part of this can make much difference. It makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Not just to you, but friends, doing what is right and what brings glory to God makes all the difference in the world. And setting the right example to people who are coming into the church, to newcomers who see, here are a group of people who love each other, but above all, here are a group of people who love Jesus Christ and are willing to commit together and to covenant together and to say, we are going to serve the Lord together. We are united together. We're not just a disparate collection of individuals who happen to come together because we love Jesus and then we just go our separate ways. No, we are a body. Together. We seek to serve the Lord together. We seek to go forward together. This is what it says It makes all the difference in the world. And friends, I've known the utter heartache and agony of serving in a church where we had about 20 people turning up to a Sunday morning service and 6 in the membership. Oh, it was awful. Because all the people who turned up all considered themselves to be part of the church. They all thought they wanted to have a say on this or that. But where are those decisions made? Rightly. In the church meeting. Where were they? Not in the church meeting. Why? Oh, well, we don't want to be committed. We just want to be able to stick our oar in. You want all the rights without any of the responsibility. That's the world today. That's how it is. I'm tempted to say that's rather like all the people who signed up to the Labour Party for £3 just to get a vote yesterday. But I don't know. And in fact, actually, that illustrates the point perfectly. Because I'm sure you all know what's happened in the Labour Party. The majority of the MPs and those in the party machinery are absolutely horrified that Jeremy Corbyn's been elected. And whoever was giving the speech before they announced the results made a very strong pitch and said, I hope all those people who signed up for £3 are going to go out on the doorsteps and are going to go out campaigning and are going to do the hard work. Of course they're not. They just signed up for the good stuff. They just got in for a vote. They just got in for that. Friends, we can be like that. We can be like that. And friends, I want to say something practical here. I want to illustrate to an extent. Our church meetings have been in the afternoons for quite some time. And we realized that that would necessarily exclude some people from coming to church meetings. People who are studying. People who have jobs. You know, the kind of people we actually want to be in the church because we want to have a future, right? And so, God willing, we've changed that. From January 2016, we're going to have our church meetings on a midweek evening, so it's open for everyone to attend, if possible. Wait a minute. Who changed it? Who made that decision? The church did. Not the pastor, not the deacon, not just one or two people. We made that decision together. By common consent. Not by decree. Not by anything else. Friends, you've got a rightful place in the visible and expressed body of Christ as a church member. Don't deny that you've got God-given gifts. Don't deprive your brothers and sisters of your encouragement and your support. Don't dishonor the Lord Jesus who laid down his life for the church. Now, this coming Wednesday, God willing, we'll consider all this a little more and think particularly about the privileges of church members. And let me make this clear, because one or two said, oh, I didn't know. On the board at the back of the church next to the CDs is a little pouch and it says in red, Wednesday night discussion questions. All you've got to do is walk up to the board and take one. Please don't forget, if you're coming on Wednesday, we're going to think about these things together, the privileges of church membership and something more about the implications of biblical church membership. Let me state again, I don't want to labour my point too much, but in a sense I do. The New Testament knows no Christian who is not baptised and is not a member of a local church. Do you think we've got any right to seek God's blessing if we're disobedient to his command to be baptized? If we're disobedient to the clear New Testament pattern of identity and accountability with a local assembly of believers and of participation in the life of the body? We'll see so much more of this as we look through Acts 2 together. Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day around 3,000 souls were added to them. They didn't just become Christians and then just wander off to do their own thing. No, there was so much more to do. They were added to them. They became part of the body. They became identified with this group. They took that risk. Great risk. What risk do you take in joining the local church? Well, praise God, we take very little risk in joining the local church in that sense. We're not under the threat of immediate persecution or trouble. They took a great risk, but they took it because they loved the Lord and they loved their brothers and sisters in Christ. I plead with you again, stop taking the church for granted. Come and take your place. Christ has died for you. We read in 1 Peter 2, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Whom will you serve? Friends, you've got a choice. And you might be the nicest, kindest, most helpful person who sits in this room week by week. It's lovely that you're nice and kind and helpful. But if there's no fruit of obedience to Christ in your life, whatever else other things there may be, surely there's no root of salvation that it could have sprung from. There's no fruit if there's no root. We must examine our hearts. We must examine our ways. Keep reading. Keep praying. Keep thinking. We keep talking together and we'll make progress together. Members of this church, make use of your membership. Value your membership. Think more about your membership. We'll do it on Wednesday night. May God bless us in that. Non-members, you're coming here regularly. May Christ reveal His will to you. Perhaps you're not coming here regularly and you're just here today. Well, friend, may I say to you in that case, examine again the Word of God and see for yourself that the Church of Jesus Christ is not a national church, it's not a denomination, but it is the people of God in all ages who have trusted in Christ, been born again, and then have come and committed themselves to a local gathering of believers. Find yourself a local church and join it and follow Christ. Either way, whichever way, each one of us is called to hear, to obey the Word of God. May He bless His Word to our hearts. Amen.